I'd like for you to turn with me to a passage of Scripture. I'm going to look at a thought this morning. We've been walking with the Lord. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 50, please. Isaiah chapter number 50. I love the words to that song, don't you? Amen. Peter said unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. He's a precious Savior this morning. I want to give you a thought this morning entitled, Walking Up Calvary's Mountain with the Lord. Or Walking with the Lord Up Calvary's Mountain. Stand with me in reverence to the Word of God, please. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 6. This is prophecy coming over 700 years before Calvary from the pen of the prophet Isaiah. He said, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Many don't understand, but that text in Isaiah is talking about nothing other than the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. How he suffered so that we wouldn't have to suffer. He suffered for time so that we wouldn't have to suffer for eternity. Thank the Lord. You can be seated. Pray for us, would you? Father, thank you this morning for the sweet Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that it is well with my soul. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing, your precious people. I pray, Lord, this morning, Lord, that you would help us this morning on this little journey that we're about to take up Calvary's Mountain. Help us, our Father, and work in our hearts. Lord, I love you this morning, and it's all because you first loved me. I praise you this morning, God, for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Help us. Help us, oh God, in these days, not to veer from it to the right or the left, but Lord, understand. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Lord, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Walking with the Lord up Calvary's Mountain, there are going to be some parallels, but we're mainly going to talk about his journey up Calvary's Mountain. There is a hill called Calvary, Golgotha, the place of the skull. I believe on that day in history that it was the greatest event that ever took place. 3 days later, another great event took place. He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. The first thing I'd like to say this morning about this little journey up Calvary's Mountain is he was walking up Calvary's Mountain with determination in mind. The text that I read in your hearing this morning, he said, I've set my face like a flint. He was determined to go all the way. I ask you the question this morning, are you determined to go all the way. When the Bible said that we should deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Jesus, are we determined, come what may, I'm going all the way with Him. Amen. The Bible said in John 12:27, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I'll glorify it again. You know why we ought to walk with Him up Calvary's mountain? Because it brings glory to a holy God. Amen. When we can get ourselves out of the way and not live for self, but live for the Savior and live for others, it brings great glory to the Lord. In John 18, the Bible said, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, and he said, you say that I am a king. He said, to this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. I want you to know that Jesus understood, not just in the beginning of His life, not just in the beginning of the creation, but Jesus understood before the foundation of the world that there's coming a day, already beaten to a pulp, that they were going to lay a heavy cross on His back and He was going to bear it up Calvary's mountain. You know, a lot of preaching today, you would think that they're not talking about cross bearing. You'd think they're talking about crown wearing. Like everything's just going to be peachy. Amen. I want you to know when Jesus went up that hill, everything wasn't peachy. The Word of God said, beloved, the Bible said there, then delivered they Him there to be crucified. They took Jesus. They led Him away. And the Word of God said, He bearing His cross went forth into a place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. There's people, listen, I heard this statement years ago. It's better, beloved, to keep your mouth shut and let everybody think you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. There's people that'll say there's contradictions in the Bible, because in one place the Word of God said that He bore His own cross. In another place it said they compelled one Simon, a Cyrene, to carry His cross. Use just a little bit of common sense. I'm telling you, the load got so heavy going up that hill. And beloved, it wasn't just the wood that was on His back. It was you and I that were in His heart. It was our sin He was fixing to bear in His body on that tree. And He fell under that load. They knew He wasn't going to make it. So they said, let's get somebody to help Him. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. It's 2024. I don't know about you, but I want to help my Savior bear that cross in this wicked and undone generation. I want to keep walking with Him. Even when it gets to where you don't think you can put one foot in front of another. And just about the time, Brother Jason, in the ministry, when you think you can't do it, oh, thank God, the Bible said, exhorting one another, even so much the more daily, there'll be a brother, there'll be a sister come along and say, let me help you bear that cross that's put on you up Calvary's mountain. One dreadful morn walked Christ my Savior. Why did He do it? He didn't do it for Himself. He was determined to go all the way. We need a good dose in our church and in this generation of Holy Ghost determination. I ain't quitting. I ain't going sideways. I ain't going backwards. Amen. I'm going on and reaching forth to that high prize that God's laid out for us. Amen. What a blessing. The second thing that God gave me, if we walk with the Lord up Calvary's mountain, He was walking up Calvary's mountain with a dread in mind. You say, Pastor, you don't really believe he dreaded it. There was something about it he dreaded. Go back with him to the garden. He's down on his face. Peter and James and John are out yonder asleep. That's where the church is, most of them today, out yonder asleep. Amen. But Peter and James and John were asleep. And the Word of God said that our Lord Jesus was in great agony of spirit. So much so that his sweat became great drops of blood. I did some study on that years ago. And a person can be in such agony of heart and agony of spirit that their pores will open up and let blood come out of them. When you get as old as I am, you can just skin yourself a little bit and you're bleeding. Amen. I mean to tell you, you talk about thin-skinned. Amen. As far as physically speaking, when you get some age on you, you get thin-skinned. You can just bump up against something and you're bleeding. But Jesus wasn't bleeding because he bumped up against something. He was bleeding because he was crying to his Father, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." Nevertheless, I love that word. Not as I will. Boy, I tell you what, we could have revival in America if every one of God's people would get to the place, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done." We could have revival in America. We'll never have revival doing our own will, walking in our own way. We'll walk with the Lord up Calvary's mountain. We'll see, beloved, that we need some determination. You say, well, what's dread got to do with us? There's people sitting in this building right now. You'd surrender to God, but you just dread to find out what God's going to do with you. I told somebody years ago, beloved, here's how we think it is. Here's how we think we discover the will of God. Got a blank sheet of paper right here. Here's how we think we discover the will of God. We take that blank piece of paper and we hand it to the Lord. And the Lord says, okay, here, 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 here. Okay, Lord, let me look it over now. And if I like it, I'll tell you what I'll do, Lord. I'll sign it. That's how we think we're going to discover the will of God for our lives. That's a lie. You'll never discover the will of God. I'm going to tell you, see the other side of that? Let me tell you how to discover the will of God. Sign it. Hand it to Him. Let Him fill it in. And I tell you what's the truth, beloved. You'll find the will of God for your life. I'm telling you, beloved, money will never bring peace. I'm telling you, money will never bring joy. I'm telling you, money will never march you up Calvary's mountain. But thank God, the will of God will say, Lord, I want to go with you all the way. But this old flesh will dread it. This old flesh don't want nothing to do with that mountain. That's why the Bible said, if any man will come after me, let him, what's the next word? Deny. The flesh has to be denied. Take up his cross and follow me. There was a dread. You say, Pastor, what did Jesus dread? Did he dread those nails? I really don't think so. Did he dread them spitting on him? I really don't think that's what it was. Brother Ralph, for the first time in history, the Son of God was going to be separated from his Father. The Word of God said, beloved, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, the lights went out on the earth. There was darkness over the land. I believe it was so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. Amen. And you know why? Because, beloved, hanging there on a hill called Calvary was the darling Son of God. He was going to have to cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had never been forsaken of his Father. And he did that for you. He did that for me. I believe he dreaded that. He dreaded being separated from his Father. The third thing, I believe he was walking up Calvary's mountain with the dead in mind. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, Jesus knew something that most people don't know. He knew that you and I had a debt that we couldn't pay. The only way it could be paid is if he went to Calvary and paid it for us. Someone said Jesus paid a debt he did not owe because I had a debt I could not pay. I believe with all of my heart, the Bible said in Isaiah 53, he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken. Listen to this, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, thank God, we're healed. Jesus went up that mountain to pay a debt. Your sin debt and my sin debt. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with us walking with him? Well, if you read Romans chapter number 1, there's three I am statements that Paul makes. The first thing he said, I'm debtor. How many's ever heard the song, I owe it all to Jesus? How many's ever heard the song, Jesus paid it all? All to him I owe. I heard an old preacher, that's not original with me. I heard an old preacher years ago say something I've never forgot. He said there's more lies told behind songbooks than anywhere else in the world. People will stand and sing, I surrender all, knowing they're hanging on to their life and their flesh and their sin and their way for dear life. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen, when you get to the place where you walk up that mountain with it, you'll say, God, Christ is my life. I owe it all to him. Amen. There was a debt that needed to be paid. Then number 4, he's walking up Calvary's mountain with a delight in mind. The first thing the Lord showed me about this was the Father's delight. The Bible said this, John 8:29, and he that sent me is with me. Where's Connor? Is he back there? Remember what you was talking about, the Spirit of God over there, brother. He's with us. Amen. Jesus said, he that sent me is with me. Watch this now. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things which please him. You know what Jesus realized? When I'm going up this hill and I'm bearing this cross, I fall under the cross. Simon helps me carry that cross. They nail me to that cross. They drop that cross in the ground. They spit on me. They crown me with thorns. They've hit me in the face. They beat me to a pulp. Here's what Jesus realized, beloved. He realized that it was all pleasing to the Father. You say, Pastor, where did that come from? Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. Listen to this, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. I'm telling you, there's only one sacrifice for sin that God the Father is pleased with, and that's his Son as he went up Calvary's mountain. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, listen, the Word of God is teaching us, beloved, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. If all you've got's a Sunday school pen, he ain't going to be satisfied. If all you've got, beloved, is church membership, he ain't going to be satisfied. If all you've got's a sprinkle or a dip in a water hole, he ain't going to be satisfied. But thank God Almighty, when he sees that blood that was shed on Calvary's tree applied in our heart and our life, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. The sin debt's paid. Jesus didn't pay on it. He paid it in full. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I take great pleasure in paying something off. Don't you? Amen. I'm bought and paid for. Every child of God's bought and paid for. About time we live like it. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. Amen. Walking with the Lord up Calvary's mountain. He walks up there with a determination in mind, a dread in mind, a dead in mind. But thank God he walks up there with a delight in mind. Not only the Father's delight, but there was a future delight. See, Jesus was able to see beyond Calvary. He was able to see beyond the empty tomb. Watch what I mean. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Glory, I like that. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Hey, Jesus said, not only is my Father going to be delighted right now, but I'm going to go back and sit down at the right hand of my Father. And every hell-bound sinner that bows their knee and asks God for mercy and for grace, I'm going to get to see him born into the family of God. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and he's now sit down at the right hand of God the Father. I don't know about you, beloved. It took a lot of people by surprise when I got saved. But it didn't take God by surprise. I heard Curtis Hudson say something years ago that I like to repeat. He said, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? Things come our way, beloved, that kind of take us by surprise. Not him. Amen. Who for the joy that was set before him, the Bible said, delight thyself also in the Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, I'm going to give you something this morning. God just put some light on that verse for me as I was studying. Beloved, if you're not willing to walk up that mountain with him, you're not delighting in the Lord. If you're not willing to deny yourself, there's a lot of this prosperity gospel, Brother Dale, they say, well, that's a blank check. Just delight yourself in the Lord and give that check to God. That's a blank check. I'm going to tell you what. When you delight in the Lord, you know what you delight in? In the things he delights in. And there's nothing he delights in more than the salvation of souls. Amen. There's nothing he delights in more than for a Christian to stand behind the songbook and sing, I surrender all, and it be the truth. Amen. God delights in that. God deserves that from you and from me. Then the last thing God gave me in the message, walking up Calvary's mountain, walking with the Lord of Calvary's mountain with deliverance in mind. You say, Pastor, let me give you this. At one point in the crucifixion, Jesus is in the middle. There's a thief on this side and a thief on this side. Throughout the crucifixion, both thieves for a period of time were saying exactly the same thing. If thou be the Christ, come down and get us down. If thou be the Christ, come down and get us down. Jesus cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I tell you, you'll never be more like Jesus than when you're forgiving somebody. I believe that one thief said, you know what? Look what they've done to him. Look how they're gambling for his clothes. Look how they're spitting. Look how they're jeering. They're wagging their heads. If he be the Christ, let him come down. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. That one thief looked at that crowd. He heard what they were saying. He watched their actions. And he hears Jesus say, "Father, forgive them." I wonder in my heart and in my mind if he didn't think, "I wonder if he could forgive me. I've wasted my life." He looked over at him, and in one word, when he said, "Lord," that said it all. That's why they nailed him to that cross, because he said he made himself equal with God. He was the Son of God. That's why he's hanging there. The Jews couldn't stand it. Amen. The religious hierarchy hated him. They were jealous of him because they were hypocrites. They weren't real. When Jesus walked up that Calvary's mountain, he walked up with deliverance in mind. Brother Jason, I believe he already knew there's a thief up there that's going to need some help. He knew there was somebody going down to Jerusalem and getting the church members, locking them up, killing them, putting them in prison, persecuting them. He said, there's a man that he needs to meet me. I'm going to go on up Calvary's Hill so that one day on the Damascus Road, I can meet him there and show him the light. Say amen. I'm glad I saw the light. Somebody help me. Amen. Thank God Almighty. I'm telling you, beloved, he went up that hill with deliverance in mind. He knew one day, beloved, Paul and Silas would be beaten and thrown in the jail. He knew one day he'd just shake a jailhouse, the doors would fly open. He knew there'd be a Philippian jailer that needed some help. So he went on up Calvary's mountain so he could deliver that man. And not only that, deliver his family for the glory of God. Beloved friend, he went up there with deliverance in mind. The Bible said we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. Listen to this. Who delivered us from so great a death? If you look at the word delivered, that's past tense. The Bible said, for the wages of sin is death. That's not just physical death. That's spiritual death. That's the second death. That's eternal death. He delivered us. You see, I have already been delivered from the penalty of sin. And then the Bible said, and doth deliver. What do you mean, preacher? You've got salvation. Now you've got sanctification, doth deliver. He is delivering me from the power of sin. And we trust that he will yet deliver us. He will deliver me from the very presence of sin. Where I'm going, nothing can enter in that will defile. Amen. The curse will be over. The devil will be gone. No flesh to contend with. I like that song, "No unkind words the wound, the heart are spoken." Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. Beloved friend, he went up that hill with deliverance in mind. Why should I walk with the Lord? Because somebody might be delivered as they see us walking with him. See us, beloved, putting emphasis where the emphasis needs to be put, on eternity. Not on this world, the things of this world, but on eternal things. The songwriter said years ago, "Others, Lord. Yes, others, Lord. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may be like thee." So when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven's begun, I'll praise you for the crown I've won, but I'll praise you more for others. Is that not a blessing? Say amen. I'll praise you more for others. God didn't just see the thief that was going to need help. He didn't just see the jailer. He didn't just see, beloved, in the book of Acts, 3,000 souls in one day that were going to say yes to the Lamb of God. But I tell you what he saw. He saw from Calvary all the way down to 1987 when a 27-year-old young man would be sitting on a pew lost without God. And he said, you're going to need deliverance. I'm going to go buy it. I'm going to go pay for it. I'm going to pay the debt for that young man so that young man can be saved by the grace of God. I don't know about you this morning. I have never felt Brother John like I love him the way I ought to. But God knows my heart. I do love him. I owe everything to him. I owe it all to Jesus. All of it. All of it. The Bible said you brought nothing into this world. Isn't it something how we spend so much time on stuff and so little time with the Savior? We brought nothing into this world. It's certain we're not going to take anything out. And I'll tell you this, I'm just hoping somebody will follow me to the city of God. Amen. I want to walk with the Lord up Calvary's mountain. It's not a pleasant place. No. This flesh don't want no part of it. This world don't understand it. But I know this. In the end, the songwriter said, Brother Dale, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Do you know him this morning? The lady sang about peace. Wonderful peace. Do you have that peace in your heart this morning? Do you know if you died today that heaven would be your home? God wants you to know that. He don't want you to be guessing about it. He wants your confidence to be in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that you've been born again, not by corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed, the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for Calvary. I pray, dear God, this morning that Jesus would manifest his presence in this invitation. God, in a weak and frail way, I've tried my best. Didn't seem like Lord was getting through at times. But God, it's not my job to get the message through. It's just my job to deliver the message. But Holy Spirit, would you help them? Lord, would you get the message through to our hearts? Somebody here today is afraid to surrender. Oh God, why would we be afraid of somebody that loves us so much? I pray, Lord, today for the families that are bereaved. I pray, Lord, today for Brother Junior and Sister Marie. I pray, Lord, today, God, that you'd just help us as the family of God here at Bible Way. Help us, Lord, to serve you with gladness till you come. Lord, for those that are sitting in this building, lost and undone, I pray, God, you'd finger around their heart, stir in their heart. Help them, Lord, today. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand together.